It's a Monday morning, and that means we welcome in Arthur Schwartz. It's time for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. Well, let's hope it's a good morning. It's still early.
That's right. We have time.
I sound pessimistic, it's probably because I am.
Well, we have time for it either to be a good day or go south.
Yes,
we'll see
we do have time. We do have time. So I have an agenda today.
All right.
Which is a good thing because in the time of the virus, I'm vacuuming, which is going to be my exercise, and a lot of vacuuming and dusting, and I'm going to make chicken soup.
All right.
By the way, I am not on the payroll of DeBraga the butcher, but I'm discovering that there's no reason to leave the house for meat. Because you can have absolutely the best meat ever that I've ever had delivered to the house. And it's expensive, but not significantly more, I'm finding out, than buying it at a butcher shop or even at a good supermarket. Because, you know, the price of meat has skyrocketed lately. You are aware of that.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And food prices in general. It's not your imagination. Food prices in general are up 2.6%, which is since the beginning of the virus, which is only a couple of months now. So that's vast. That's a big rise for food. Food prices in America stay relatively level. Not that they're inexpensive, because my Italian friends all come here and say, God, the food is so expensive in the supermarkets. And in the restaurants, it's out of control to them. But anyway, back to DeBraga. So I'm online, and I come across a list of, and I don't remember where I saw this list, but I'm sure somebody who's good at searching will find it, a list of butchers that deliver to your house. I'm not the only one who doesn't want to leave the house. By the way, I don't think they're running these, oh, who knows? Maybe they are running these in the northwest corner on TV. But on my TV, I'm getting commercials for wholesale, well, now retail butchers that are happy to deliver. And they have, I must say, they make a steak look awfully good. So I've been ordering from DeBraga. So I run across this list, and there they are, among other ones that I knew about and many that I did not know about. And the blurb on this list is, and don't miss their weekly specials. I didn't know they had weekly specials. So I go on the website, and sure enough, they have, there were three different weekly specials. I should have had this on my screen. And I decided to take the least expensive just to see what was this all about. And it was $150 plus $10 shipping, so $160. And for $160, I got 2 pounds in its own package, 1 pound each, of ground beef, one package with 4 8-ounce burgers already formed, and a pound of hot dogs, their DeBraga hot dogs, which I have not yet tried, a pound of their Italian-style sausage, sweet Italian sausage, theirs is with fennel, that's another pound, 4 really substantial pork chops. I would say that they are rib chops, and very thick. 2 3.5-pound chickens, and something I had never cooked before, flat iron steaks, 4 half-pound flat iron steaks. I toted just this morning, I decided, oh, was this really a special? Was this any kind of bargain? And it is, because if you bought all of that stuff individually at DeBraga, it would come up to about $200, and they're giving it to you for $150. And like I say, the $10 is just delivery. There are other kits. They call it a kit. This one is the Eat Well From Home Bronze Kit. And you do eat from well from home. Anyway, I took 1 pound of my meat, my ground meat, and I made a ragu yesterday, which we will enjoy today and another day. That's at least two meals there. And last night I had never cooked a flat iron steak. Now, one of my know-it-all friends says, oh, it's the same thing as a tri-tip. It's not. Let me just say, a flat iron steak is a what we used to call a blade steak. That may sound more familiar to you than flat iron steak. I tried to find out who invented this name, flat iron steak. I don't know. I guarantee you it's a restaurateur. It's what they do call it. And it became a very, very popular cut several years ago because it's extremely tender, boneless cut, with some marbling. I can't say it's the juiciest steak I've ever had, but it's tender, and it's a cut of the chuck. It's a shoulder. The blade is a shoulder. It's a shoulder cut, and it is carved out of a much larger cut, which we call the chuck. So it's a kind of chuck steak. And I don't know what clever butcher, well, I'm sure many years ago. You know, there are some of these little cuts like this flat iron steak were actually the butchers carved these things out for themselves and their family. The other one is hanger steak, which is sometimes called butcher's tenderloin. Now, these were cuts that they had trouble selling, I suppose, way back when. And they knew that this was a tender cut of meat. It was delicious. By the way, the flat iron steaks that I got from De Braga, they're 8 ounces each. They're about $10 a steak. Well worth it. Tender, juicy. I cooked Bob's to medium. I cooked mine to medium rare. I prefer it a little rarer. There were two. I pulled out two steaks. One of them was a little thinner than the other one. They're more or less rectangular shape, and not at all the shape you would think for a flat iron, which is why my friend thought it was the same as a tri-tip, because tri-tips, there are three tips to a tri-tip, but there are no three tips to a flat iron. Anyway, it's not like the flat iron building.
No,
it's not that shape.
Can I ask you a question?
So one of them was a little thicker than the other. So I was able to cook them at the same time and put them in and take them out at the same time. But, of course, the thicker one was a little bit rarer than the slightly thinner one. And I didn't do anything to them. I wanted to taste the meat for its own sake, just to see what does this cut taste like. And so I just salted. I don't even pepper, but I put it in the pan. I always pepper my steaks after they're out of the pan. But all I did was pat it dry and salt it rather well and put it into a super-duper-duper hot cast iron skillet, as I always do with a steak. In this case, however, it only took 3 minutes per side to get a good sear and to get them cooked through, because they're not that thick. So I it's 6 minutes you have a steak, and a well-seared, medium-rare steak. If you want it to be a little more well-done, just turn down the heat after the sear part and cook it over low heat for maybe 1 minute on either side, maybe, and then put it on a plate and let it rest. The steak should rest at least 3, 4, 5 minutes. And while my steak was resting, I deglazed the pan, so to speak, with some sautéed onions and mushrooms that I'd already made in the same pan, by the way. So this was a one-pan supper. I caramelized some onions, meaning I browned some onions in my cast iron skillet, and then I added sliced mushrooms. And just to note, in this age of the virus, if you don't want to go to the supermarket very often, mushrooms do keep for a couple of weeks in the refrigerator, although these mushrooms I just bought the other day. And then I sautéed the mushrooms until they were tender, and I took them out of the pan, put it aside. And then when the steaks were done, I put them back in the pan and scraped up any little bits of brown fond, brown stuff on the bottom of my skillet. By the way, these steaks, although they seem to be relatively well marbled because they're tender and juicy, don't create the fat rendering that other steaks might, like a rib steak or a sirloin strip steak, otherwise called a New York strip steak, top sirloin. Those cuts seem to render a lot more fat than this steak did, which means that I didn't have to explain to my neighbor why there was smoke in the hallway. Because when I cook a prime rib steak, which is really loaded with fat, which comes out, but, you know, last time I did that, the smoke was so strong I had to open up the door to my apartment, and then the hall got filled with smoke, and the smoke alarm in the hall went off. So that caused a little bit of a ruckus. These did not. These, I did have to have my vent on. I don't have outside ventilation, so that's a problem. Although if I open the window and turn the kitchen fan on, that's okay. In any case, these did not create that kind of smoke, 3 minutes each side, and they were really good. So I'll do that again. I can't wait to actually, I made one of the chickens, and there's, I'm not going to mention the name of this other company because I usually like everything that I get from them, but oh, I will mention. I ordered from D'Artagnan. My doorman told me that there's more boxes from D'Artagnan coming in than ever. So, my neighbors are all ordering from D'Artagnan. Let me try this. And, you know, it's a very good company, and I buy a lot of their products in the supermarket, including I buy their chickens in the supermarket sometimes. But the chickens from D'Artagnan were not good. They were not at all like the ones in the supermarket. And I'm tempted even to write them a letter and say they were bruised. There were several things wrong with these chickens. But the chickens I got from De Braga are superb. So I roasted one the other day. The breast was unbelievably juicy. And I don't like breast meat usually, but we had enough breast meat. A 3.5-pound chicken will feed the two of us for two meals. One meal we eat the dark meat, and then the next day we usually have the white meat salad or just sliced in a sandwich or however I could make things with it, with cooked white meat. This white meat was so juicy and so delicious on its own that we didn't do anything. We just ate it with some salad, just the way it was, and a tiny bit of mayonnaise, because Bob has to have mayonnaise with his chicken. So I only had a tiny bit. Anyway,
can I ask you today?
I'm gonna try to cook the other chicken that I got to make broth because I'm now out of broth. But I don't want to cook the chicken to death because I really want to eat the chicken. It's an expensive chicken too. It's a $10 chicken. In the scope of things, that's not bad. Oh, wait, not a $10 chicken. It's a $20 chicken.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I haven't seen $10.
No, it's a $20 chicken. Well, I'm telling you, well worth it. We ate every scrap of meat on that chicken. So today I'm going to basically poach the chicken. I'm not really going to boil it to death. I'm just going to cook it until it's done, which probably an hour and 15 minutes. With carrot, onion, celery, the usual. I have a lot of parsley, so I'll put some parsley in there. But then I'm going to strip the meat off and recook the broth with the bones and the skin. And that I'll let cook for hours. And I will get a gel on that broth. It'll be strong enough. It'll be high protein enough to be a nice jellied broth. How much flavor I'm going to get, I don't know. We'll see.
Now, can I ask you a question?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
The question I want to ask you is, you talked about flat iron steaks. Well, they used to see them that on restaurant menus all the time, and you don't see them on restaurant menus now like they used to be, where, you know, you can order a flat iron steak.
Yeah, but when you say used to be, we're not talking about even 20 years ago.
No,
Marshall.
No.
No, I'm talking about sometime in the 2000s.
Yeah.
It came up. I don't think much before that. that you would see it. No, I don't know. It was a phase. I don't want to call it a fad, but it was a phase. It's relatively inexpensive because it's chuck. It's not rib. It's not short rib. It's not short loin. So it was something that the restaurants could offer at a lower price point. It's very good for steak frites, for instance.
Yeah.
You know, just a plate with a nice juicy. It has a very deep beefy flavor, and this meat is Angus beef, naturally raised. Of course, never goes near a hormone or anything like that, and it really does have a good flavor, I must say. And I don't always like grass-fed beef, but it's a different flavor. You got to get used to it.
And it cooks different as well.
Well, I just set 3 minutes aside for these little steaks.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. You know, every piece of meat cooks different.
I don't know.
You have to know your ingredients with everything. Even you got to know your ingredients, and that's why it's nice to buy the same thing all the time, so you know how to handle it. So this is my first time with the Flatiron steaks. I would buy them again. They're $45 for it's $45 for 2 pounds, meaning 4 8-ounce steaks. I don't know how they portion these so well, but they do. Yep. They come individually packaged, and this is, I suppose, the way they sell De Braga. The way De Braga sells it to the restaurants that they cater to. They do portion. I guess they have a possibility in restaurants of getting their meat already pre-portioned. I'm sure there are some restaurants that want to do that themselves, but then you have to have a butcher as well as a chef.
Well, if it comes out to $10 a steak, and let's say you add baked potato for another buck, you can't get a steak dinner for
that. Exactly. By the way, I did add a baked potato for another buck. It wasn't even a buck. They're 99 cents a pound. And I don't know. The potato wasn't a full pound, that's for sure. And then we had some broccoli, which, you know, I don't know, $2 worth of broccoli for the two of us.
Okay.
So you're talking about $24 dinner for two, steak dinner for two.
You don't do that in a restaurant. You know, it's funny when you mentioned when I mentioned potatoes. My father used to prepare at the Concord, and we'd be in the audience, and you could eat dinner. It was like a 1,600 seat room, and you could have dinner, and the show would start. But I would always order an extra baked potato, and my grandmother used to get upset at me because back then, an extra baked potato in that aluminum foil cost $4. That was
You're kidding?
No.
At the Concord?
At the Concord. It was...
I didn't know you paid for anything.
Well, we didn't, but my grandmother saw it on the menu, and so she would get upset at me.
I thought you paid your room, blah, blah, you ate it, whatever you want. In fact, this is that old line. Alan King used to say, they would hand me the menu at the Concord and say, good, I'll take it.
That's right.
So, yeah. Alan King, who wrote a book called "Is Salami and Eggs Better Than Sex?"
And you know, there's a restaurant in Pauling.
If you don't know this book, I have an extra copy. I can.
There's a restaurant in Pauling that has that on the side. They have these quotes from famous people. That's one of the famous quotes they have hanging in their dining room.
Well, let me just say, salami and eggs, for my part, is not better than sex. In fact, salami and eggs isn't even that good. Much less better than sex. Especially nowadays, where the salami is so lean. You know, it used to be, you took a slice of salami, you put it in a skillet, and after a couple of minutes, you had a little bit of enough fat in the pan to make your eggs in the same pan. Nowadays, you actually have to add some oil because the salami is so lean.
Oh, gosh.
Terrible.
It's funny.
I know, maybe somebody is going to add the fat back into the salami. My nephew, the doctor, was saying the other day about, that was the age when fat was worse for you than sugar. Because nowadays, you know, fat is not vilified the way it used to be 25 years ago. Or maybe it is. I don't know. You know, my I have a physical therapist who lives on protein and fat. He's rather slim, and he does go off that sometimes to eat a whole bag of cookies. he's confessed to me. But basically, there are various diets that are like that, right?
Yeah.
The keto diet, which puts you in ketosis, which is when your body is burning its own fat. So I don't abide by any of these things. I've been around long enough to know all these diets come and go, come back again. And the only thing that is true is variety and moderation. Although I must say I'm immoderate amounts of beef lately because it's so easy to get. By the way, this is interesting. I think even with the cost of food rising and me shopping almost exclusively in a very what's considered around here an expensive supermarket, even though I find it's not that expensive, even with all that, my bills for last month were 30% less than they usually are. And it's mostly, my bills are mostly food bills. So it's not like I'm out there spending buying shoes or clothing or anything like that. But we do go out to lunch several days a week, usually. Not even expensive places. Like, I do miss my ramen noodle place. And I keep saying, I should just make some ramen myself. I do miss my Mexican place where even if I ordered the daily special with rice and beans and some flan for dessert, it's still not more than $25-$30. Anyway, even with that, I'm down 30%.
But don't you find it interesting
and buying very expensive meat? Yeah, you hear.
When you go out and you find a place you really like to go, don't you, when you find that place that you really like to go and you go over and over again, don't you just think it tastes better than if you're making it yourself? I mean, there's just some sort of thing where you can make it yourself, but it's just not the same feeling as going out to a restaurant.
No,
that you're not.
I'm not great at Mexican food. Okay. Listen, also, it's your larder. If you cook Asian food all the time, you probably do fine and you can go into your kitchen and make something Asian. I don't cook Asian food all the time because I have such good Asian restaurants all around me. And I like to be served some days.
That's right.
Sometimes it tastes better just because I can sit there
and
be served. And somebody else carries the dishes away and I don't have to look at them or the pots that result from the cooking either. But it's your larder, too. I mean, I mean mainly Middle Eastern and Italian food, Southern Italian at that, because that's what I keep in the house. Those are the herbs, spices that I have. And you can take and the grains that I have and the beans that I have, all fit into that flavor profile of Mediterranean. So I guess I have a Mediterranean kitchen. Although I do a few Chinese dishes. We did order in our neighborhood Chinese restaurant is now delivering again. And I did order in Chinese the other day. And I always order extra rice so that I can make my own fried rice, which I love to do these days. I'm not sure what's going to go in with this fried rice, but I have it here. Probably nothing today. Probably tomorrow we'll do the fried rice. And I'll try to get some protein to throw into it. Oh, I have those hot dogs. Maybe that'll work.
Hot dogs.
I think I told this some months ago, but I was in a supermarket and this Chinese woman came over to me to ask me some questions. She didn't know that I was a food guy, but she just thought I was there examining the shelves. And after I gave her the advice she asked for, I said, "Well, you make fried rice?" And she said, "Well, of course, I'm Chinese." So I said, "Well, how do you do it?" And she gave me some advice for her fried rice, which, by the way, I follow, and for the most part. But then at the end, she said, "But if you want it to taste really Chinese, you've got to make spam the protein." So I did do that once, and I won't do it again. Yeah, I even though Bob loves Spam because he's from Hawaii and he grew up eating Spam, you know, during the war that was a mainstay in Hawaii. And in fact, even today, you can get a poke bowl with Spam in it. You can get Spam sushi. They love Spam in Hawaii. And since that's a taste of his childhood, he liked the fried rice with cubed Spam in it.
All right. To each their taste.
Yeah, well, you know, I always say, whatever you grew up eating is what you like as an adult, no matter how disgusting.
All right there, Arthur.
Well, you know, I mean, some of us have very peculiar childhood tastes.
All right, well.
And, well, anyway, everybody stay safe. Yeah. I hear you're opening up a little bit.
On Wednesday, we're opening up a little bit. We'll see, you know, and it's a slow process, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, around here, it's still pretty frightening, and most people are keeping the distance, but I do feel endangered when I walk around Prospect Park on a weekend. Yeah. It's interesting. Nobody's working except at home, yet the weekends are still the weekends. Nobody, like, thinks to go out for a jog on Wednesday. But on a day like today, there will be not a soul on the streets.
All right. Well, stay safe.
To walk.
Stay safe
Dog
and healthy.
Dog walkers, that's who's out there.
Stay safe and healthy, and we'll speak
and
to you.
And you too, guys. And also, my chicken soup, I can't wait.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven here on Robin Hood Radio. You can also find it at robinhoodradio.com. Click on Food Maven with Arthur Schwartz. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. On the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.